Live from the Old National Bank State Street Studio, you're listening to Waddle and Sylvie.
Follow the show on Twitter at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87. This is WMVP WSHE HD2 Chicago, a Good Karma Brands radio station.
Soto. I'll be going over a Lala soon to see Little Juan Soto in Short Porch. Little Juan Soto. That's the best one. Crosstalk is brought to you by, well, first of all, some thank yous. Thank you to Matt Eberflus for joining us, the head coach of the Bears. We like that he puts the golf clubs away when training camp starts.
How good a player is he?
I heard he's pretty good. That's why I asked. Like, I heard through the grapevine, somebody said, like, he can really hit it. Like, he's a good single-digit golfer. Like, really good.
Yeah.
I like, he goes, nope, don't even mess around with it. My game won't be nearly as good come February because don't mess around with it once training camp starts. But thank you to Matt Eberflus. Thank you to Connor McKnight for doing McKnight at the Movies and Jesse Rogers. Meller, thank you as always, especially working a little overtime, having to produce Waddle and Sylvie. Thanks for jumping in for the good kid today. And great job by Bleck and Abdallah. They will be back at 6. They're going to do some fun stuff.
They're
going to
be exhausted.
Then they're going back tonight to see Metallica. Those are real bands. Metallica's a real band for sure. Crosstalk is brought to you by Club Hawthorne. Put a little more action into your weekend at one of Hawthorne's 16 newly remodeled betting bars, or bet the races from home or on the go with the Club Hawthorne mobile wagering
app. Enjoy it now, Abdallah, because when that little baby comes, Adam's playtime. Adam's playtime will start to shrink.
I got to go to these. It's work. Media.
36 holes of golf on Saturday with Black. Does that work too?
That'll disappear, my friend.
Yeah. I called that show prep last night.
Yeah. Good luck to you.
That's right.
Now, Lala, you can get to fly because you guys are doing content. Golf, good luck to you, pal.
Let's work.
Whitney
may promote the fine folks at Great Lakes Brewing.
You wish.
Whitney may have been more accepting of the idea that you watch sports for work, but now that you're after working in both, when you have
Watch sports.
I know you don't. So it's going to be.
Have you listened to our show?
I know. Exactly. And I knew as I was saying it that was going to be the retort. Nevertheless, be aware of what's going on in sports.
He's out watching Little Juan Soto play.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so. But trying to tell the wife, hey, we're going to go to Lala this year.
No. Do you and Karen have matching outfits like that?
Negative.
No, negative.
Look at this. They've got matching outfits. It looks good on her, not so good on him. That's what we got outside the old National
Terry
Bank.
Terry cloth doesn't really look good on anyone.
It looked good on her. Outside the old National Bank State Street studio. Sylvie's doing the show from home today. We don't want to exclude him. What's up, buddy?
Hey, what's up, guys? Next year at this time, Abdallah's going to be carrying the little girl around in the baby Bjorn.
The Bjorn? Talala, can you imagine? They'll arrest you for child abuse.
That's called? Yeah, that's what we went in. We used to carry the babies around.
Yeah, not Talala.
Festivals when we were in Ukraine. I mean, what's the difference?
Because it's a
Wicker Park festival,
really? Well, we used to bring the kids to fest. Like, when we lived in the city, my daughter was born. Sure. We lived in the suburbs. But when Gio was little and we lived in the city, we
did. Different.
No. Like street fests in our neighborhood.
Yeah.
And you can carry them around in the baby.
And you can bail whenever. And then I know you can bail from Lala if you go, but still, like, that's not good for the baby's ears.
No.
Come on.
No, stop.
You can't bring the baby to Lala.
Lungs.
The baby's overall well-being.
You have to be so exact, Meller.
I'm just saying.
Ears, you got to have the headphones.
Well, he's right. I mean, you can't do that.
No, I know he is. Of course. I was making an Abdallah.
Get that kid away from the radio, too, when the Eberflus comes on.
Eberflus.
That'll ruin some eardrums as well. Yeah.
What, the song or not the coach?
No, not the coach. The song. Yeah, not yet.
The Carmen.
Not yet.
The coach. Carmen. A lot of coach speak.
Yeah, I mean,
right,
like,
Sylvie?
Listen.
Carmen wanted him to set up a Dave and Buster's in his office. He's like, hey, coach, how about a golf simulator in your office?
Golf simulator
no,
in coach?
I don't want the head coach with a golf simulator in the
That's
office.
That's not a bad idea. Come on.
Are we to the point now where we don't give a flying rip what the coach says at this point? Like, seriously.
I mean, I'd love for the coach to be someone like Sean Payton or Andy Reid, let's say.
Yeah, but Sean Payton or Andy Reid in their first year, you don't know who the hell they were at
that
point.
True.
You
want
to go from 0 to 100 and be Sean Payton of today, like that's.
And the truth is that when Sean Payton and Andy Reid were beginning, I'm sure they were a lot more cautious about what they wanted to say.
Yes.
Once you have a Super Bowl ring on your resume, it's so much easier to be comfortable and be willing to say things that we can actually have some substance. When you're just trying to set your program up, though,
you need some skins on the wall. I think you're right.
Yeah.
I mean, like, that's what you're going to get. You're, you know, it's going to be sort of kind of bland, and you know that's just the way they feel like they have to be for right now.
Two words come to mind for me with this entire football season: blank slate.
Yeah,
like I'll get all hot and bothered if I start to see things as the season progresses, and I have the same internal feeling that I did last year, and I'm like, oh hell, this doesn't look right. What is that? Why does it look like this when it's not supposed to look like this? Not in terms of how they match up skill set wise with other teams that are more talented, but do the game plans look smart? Do they look like they know what they're doing at the very least?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, until then, I just can't get all worked up by anything that Ryan Poles or Matt Eberflus or the quarterback or anybody is saying right
sure.
now. I can't get in all bothered by it.
The one thing that scares the crap out of football fans and coaches this time of year, you know, Luke Patrick, we talked about, had to get helped off the field. Ryan Jensen in Tampa had to be carted off.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's like this is
and they're
this
not
game,
hitting.
They're not
Nobody's hitting.
Hitting. And he had to be carted off. Like, this is that, like, when you're reminded of just how tough a game it is, even when you're not hitting.
This is
you're
the
not
worst
even...
part of the entire season for coaches.
Oh, my God.
Because you can almost process the thought of losing someone in a contact drill.
Is there any update on what happened to Jensen? Do they know that just know. He was carted off?
Yep, that's it.
Can you imagine?
They didn't know whether or not they were going to bring him back, right? Where wasn't he a free agent?
Yes. We talked about the Bears, like, kicking the tires on him, remember?
Well, yeah, and remember, because Tom Brady kind of dragged out. He had the retirement, and then he unretired. So I think that helped to dictate.
He's one of the true nasties in the game.
Yeah, he's really good. Yeah. He's really, really,
really
good.
Speaking of true nasties in the game,
Miller, remember?
Has Sylvie sent you the picture of his colon?
No, what are you doing?
Well, okay, let me give context here. I'm not just sending out random pictures of
You're
my
not?
Colon.
Oh, my gosh, I didn't know that.
I'm watching you guys on Twitch just like regular listeners can. People are like, does Sylvie have the vid again? Is it now the vid? Is that what people are calling COVID?
COVID.
The vid? Is that what people are calling it? So the reason I'm at home today, last week I had a clean.
The Rona. The Rona. Not the vid.
The Rona. Before it was the Rona, right?
It's still the
And then
Rona.
Now the people are like, does he have the vid? What's up with Sylvie?
He caught a case of
again?
The little one Poor Sotos.
Guy. Poor guy's got the vid again.
No, he doesn't have the vid.
No, it's just, look, I got the venereal disease. What do you want?
What?
You got, no, I'm.
You don't even joke about that. Like, that was Sylvie. First of all, that was Sylvie, everybody. Yeah. That wasn't Meller or Carmen or myself.
Got the clap, actually, guys. Yeah. Don't worry about it.
No.
Shot of penicillin, stay home.
This is getting really into the medical weeds. And
that's where we live.
A week ago,
we're a medical yeah. show.
That's right. If Yurko was here,
oh God,
I wouldn't have had to go for a
You would have just done it. He would have done it himself.
Colonoscopy today.
It's ad check.
He would have checked me himself.
I got a microscope. Yeah. Hold on.
I feel like a venereal.
What did he say about Lance Lynn earlier today? Didn't he say Lance Lynn's going to be out for 5 or 6 months?
Earlier this season, he said, "Your kid, won't pitch all year. He's done for the year."
And I feel like Yurko wouldn't.
Hey, you're, kid, come here. I got a little telescope. Hold on 1 second. Bend over.
I guarantee you a venereal disease would not keep Yurko out of the studio.
Yeah. So wait, what happened?
So anyway, a week ago I had my scan. It was to make sure I'm still in remission, which would be 2 years. Clean scan for lymphoma.
Awesome.
But from what I was told, the radiologist has to, like, mention everything he sees there.
Okay.
And PET scans can be a little random with some different things. So he mentioned inflammation in the colon.
Okay.
And now, me being going through what I went through, I'm a little more on edge. I'm a little more anxious. So I'm like, I don't feel great about this. Let me go get a colonoscopy. I had a colonoscopy 2 years
ago. I've got a set of car keys up here, but other than that, you're clean.
Shut
up.
Jesus.
Wow. I went today for the lower colonoscopy. How about this, Carm? No, they did not put me out. Nothing.
What?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Well, did you have an option or just all of a sudden?
No, he loves being put out.
So there's no truth to the rumor that you had a colonoscopy for fun. It was for medical procedure.
This is not for fun. This is not
was
for fun, but I did not. What's the word I'm looking for? No anesthesia. Now, this is old. They're calling it the Siegfried and Roy colonoscopy. It's like the Sieg colon test. I don't know what it's called.
Is there a white tiger that's mauling you in the
tiger actually performs the colonoscopy.
Yeah, does the tiger... I don't understand.
You make a lot of other jokes there,
the
too.
The Siegfried and Roy. So wait, they still inserted something?
Yeah, it's the good thing the good kid isn't here today because of colonoscopy. Without anesthesia, is just letting him go...
Performed by a tiger.
Yes. God, performed by a tiger.
If anybody could have the colonoscopy without any anesthesia, it'd be Sylvie. I've been telling you guys for years. Now let me play more golf.
He better be good at golf too, Carmen. I heard you say, boy, the good kid. With all the golf he's playing, if he's not getting better, then he should just quit.
His poor body's a mess.
Back to your colonoscopy.
Oh, my God.
So I had the choice. But because he told me it was mild discomfort, I wanted to get in and out. I don't want to be cloudy all day. Wow. We're going out to dinner tonight. I wanted to drink.
Okay.
I didn't want to have to be, say, no drinks, anything like that. It was 2 minutes.
The man loves his booze, right? He decides not to have anesthesia for a colonoscopy, so he can drink later.
Let me tell you how determined devoted Sylvia is when it's time for guys' night to go out and have a few drinks.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah.
Well, I could be put out, or you could just stick the camera up my rear end for a few minutes, and it won't hurt too bad. I want a drink tonight. Stick the camera up my rear end. I'm good to go.
That's I was telling Waddle.
Unbelievable.
I watched
dedication.
The whole thing. They roll you over to your left, and then you're watching on the monitor.
It's kind of hard to do it
on your stomach.
You mean you don't put your ankles in the air? Is that what you're telling me?
Have you not had one yet?
I haven't had one yet. Oh. Sorry. They don't tell you ankles up behind your ears? I'm shocked.
You know what?
Put your hands on the table.
I'm being forthright about a serious procedure. You should see the beginning of that thing, too.
The white tiger's got a white lab coat, too, just like a doctor.
So they rolled you over and you're watching. You're watching this on a video? Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. And like, right when it first, like, that's an ugly scene right there.
Oh, my God.
Initially.
Oh, my God.
Had a couple of enemas in the last 16 hours.
I can't
what
this.
Do you mean, you waddle? You think they're going to go up on a muddy path?
Time out. You had the enemas, or did you drink the stuff that made you just flush everything?
Oh, good
so
Lord.
For the full colonoscopy, you've got to drink everything, because what they explained, that takes care of everything from top to bottom.
Wow.
The enema takes care of just the lower.
So you did the enema at home?
Yeah, I did the enema at home.
Really?
So I've had a lot of poking lately.
Wow. Yeah, you have.
That doesn't sound like fun.
The most
you have to use a garden hose for that, or how do you do that?
Yeah, what do they do?
You just you tell Braxton, all right, turn it on.
Yeah. When I say go, turn it on. This is unbelievable.
This
is for Unhinged next week.
Keep going.
I'm an open book. He told me, he said, totally healthy colon.
All right, good.
So whatever the inflammation was is probably because I had Brussels sprouts, honestly.
Really?
The night before. And I'm like, Waddle's heard me.
Oh, yeah.
Waddle's heard me poop my pants before.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. Like, we're all
good. He showed us the picture. Yeah, I don't want to see that.
That's a perfectly clean colon.
That's disgusting.
That is not disgusting.
Yes, it is. That's his colon.
Yeah, I understand that.
That's disgusting.
You wouldn't know if I told you that this was the inside of his mouth, you wouldn't know any different.
Well, but I do know, and I don't want to see that. You already told me what it is. I don't want to see it.
Yeah. Here comes the tiger.
Here comes the tiger. Tony the Tiger's in their lab coat.
This is Dr. Tigger, Mr. Silverman.
So now I'm happily, I don't need a PET scan for a full year.
Awesome.
And I am 2 years into my remission.
Congrats, brother.
Celebrate. But next Friday, he's going in for the full colonoscopy just for fun.
And how about the herpes? How are those?
The reason you're not studying.
He's the one who said it, not me.
Under control. Look, you know Meller. They just, the flare-ups are what you have to worry about.
Meller, you know.
Thank you.
Meller, you know. Control the flare-ups. What's the matter with you? Oh, my God. I don't know where to go from here. There's really nothing. I was going to talk
Bad White Sox baseball, the Bears injury issues.
Wow. Listen, you could argue, not trying to be funny here or anything, but if you're a White Sox fan, watching your baseball team's kind of like having
watching
a colonoscopy.
Sylvie's colon.
Yes.
It's about the same thing right now.
Yeah.
It really is something, you know? And Waddle and I kind of touched on it briefly when we did Unhinged, and then Meller and I were talking about it. Like, I'm running out of steam to, like, bitch and complain about them. Not that I don't love them and want them to win. I do, but, like, I'm running out of steam. Listen, I mean, football's coming up.
Carl,
and
that's,
like,
the last emotion that an owner or a franchise wants from its fans is apathy.
I know.
That is more dangerous than anger.
I mean, what else can, what's left to say? Like Mellor said, like, why should we be surprised anymore? We shouldn't be.
Listen,
this is it.
Bad base running, bad fielding, and they're not hitting homers like they were last year that could kind of like paper over some of those mistakes. And so I don't understand why you, at this point in the season, anyone would really believe, other than just a hope and a prayer, that they're going to get much better. And Carm made the point, look, they might be able to win the Central with 83 wins. And that's basically what you're hoping for if you're a Sox fan. You know,
I mean, they have, and that's it.
You're hoping for a run that, like, I forget the teams, who they were.
Well, the Braves.
Well, not just the Braves, but yeah, I don't think the Sox are going on a Braves run. Like, the second half of the season, the Braves are pretty outstanding.
It was ridiculous.
I'm saying, like, what you're hoping for now is one of these teams that sneaks in, like in the NFL as a wild card, and then goes on some sort of mad run. Like, that's what you're, the thing you're holding out for at this point, isn't it?
Yeah,
it really is. It's not that you're going to get everything turned around and all of a sudden you're a different team.
Even that's feeling less and less likely.
It is.
And the other, you know, it's, is this, what would you call this? Year three, or is this year four?
It's year three.
But we're already at the point where it's frustrating, and, you know, the way they went out in the playoffs in the COVID season was disappointing, right? But they capped it off.
And Ricky was in charge then, right?
But they capped it off with a division win the next year. And then, again, a listless playoff loss to the Astros. And now, boy, every day is just a grind as a fan to watch. We're supposed to be in the fun part, but we're already past it.
That's why I always tell you, Mellor, like, on the way up, that first surprise year, enjoy every day of the climb, because there's nothing better. You don't know what the team's bad habits are yet. But this season, and even going back to last season, is really like Groundhog Day, where it's the full day, a week in the White Sox life. Is exactly what Bill Murray went through in Groundhog Day, where you're going to have a couple highs, you're going to have some of the annoying lows, and then at the end of the week, you're right back where you started as a 500 team. Yeah. You're going to have base running mistakes, you're going to have a lack of hitting, you're going to have a pitcher blow up on you, you're going to have a couple of nice wins where you go for 8 or 9 runs, and then you're just hoping that you're going to wake up out of the zone where you're repeating everything. But it just keeps happening.
You went to Colorado and split. Even when you beat them 2-1, you were clinging to it.
Yes, you were.
And
I don't know when.
That is a horrible Rockies team.
It's horrible.
Zero home runs, right, in that
series? Zero home runs in Coors Field. I don't know when it changes. You know, their high home run man is Luis Robert with 12.
Yeah.
You know what other team in the league his high home run man has 12?
Is it the Reds?
The Oakland A's. Yeah, no, well, Brandon Drury has like 20. Yeah.
The A's come to town. I mean,
the A's,
and that's the thing. It could have
12 home runs, guys. That's how bad it is.
Saving graces is, all right, the A's and the Royals are coming to town.
But I got mad at myself yesterday, because when they took the lead, they went up 5-3. I naively thought to myself, all right, you're going to sweep the Rockies in a two-game set, and you've got the next six against the Royals and the A's, or A's and Royals in that order, and this will be an opportunity to really go ahead and go on a run.
Have you ever had an anxiety attack in your life?
Yes.
You can't tell me if you've ever had one that you weren't feeling for Graveman yesterday watching it.
Kendall Graveman.
I was having an anxiety attack watching him. As you know, the air's thin out there.
Yeah.
Struggling to breathe, struggling to, you know, you're sweating profusely. The altitude is a real thing if you're not used to it. He couldn't get so the tension starts to build. He couldn't throw a strike. You walk the bases full. I mean, like, I sent you guys a text, and I said that, my friends, and I'm not trying to be, you know, cold and callous about it. That's a mile-high anxiety attack. And it happens to athletes who aren't used to that environment.
Yeah. I know.
And it was awful to watch.
Mentally,
I felt so
physically,
bad for him.
Both. Yeah. He had the double whammy being in Colorado. All right, boys, what's up on the show today?
So later, when we get into Sox talk a little bit more, I heard this morning Cap make a couple of statements that made me go, about the White Sox.
It's a day that ends in a Y.
So I want to bring that to your attention. We'll take your calls if you want to react. We'll start with some Bears. I want to build on what Waddle was saying about the blank slate. I'm hearing a lot of things on the Bears that's quite frankly annoying. And I want to bring you something that a hot taker said 5 years ago to make the comparison on the totally different end of the spectrum. But
is
we'll start with Bears.
Thing?
No, is this a cap thing? Yeah. No, the White Sox was. This has nothing to do. Well, I mean, sort of.
Because you said a hot taker.
Right. This is a national hot taker. Got I don't it. Know if you know what the anniversary is of today. Brady actually tweeted about it.
Mm. Oh, I know what it is.
So
yes.
It is the 5-year anniversary?
It has something to do with Max Kellerman.
Yes, exactly. Okay. And then I want to weave it to the Bears, and I know Brady's on one end of the spectrum and the Bears on the completely under end of the spectrum. What is the same is the unknown, and you know I want to weave it all together. Dion Miller from ABC7 is going to join us from Bears Camp coming up at 3, and a lot of fun to be had, including more colon talk.
All right, have a good show, boys. We will see everybody tomorrow. Peggy's going to be in with me tomorrow. Miller, thanks again. Waddle and Sylvie are next. Have a great day.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000 and now on FM at 100.3 HD2.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
Very nice words today on Twitter and on the Twitch chat. You can watch us on Twitch. Watch Waddle today with Meller and Tyler. Oh, there's
me?
A good close-up
can you
of
see
Waddle.
Me?
I see you right now. It's a good close-up. You flying? You love to do that.
I know. It's my childish thing. Hey, in all seriousness, congratulations. I think today was the culmination of all of your testing, and everything is fantastic, as we all expected. But congratulations on all the good news.
It was good. It was an extra test that I didn't want to do. But again, like it was easy. I was in and out in an hour. You know, it wasn't as bad as people say. As people were mentioning it in the Twitch chat, and the Twitch chat is brought to you by the Jim Irsay Collection. And we've got some VIP. I think we got some stuff to give away for the Jim Irsay Collection, don't we?
I think we do.
There's no more tickets available, but your last chance to get them is going to be with Waddle and Sylvie and with Carmen and Yurko. So we've got two pairs today, one tomorrow.
Do you want to give away one now since we're talking about the Twitch chat?
The Jim Irsay Collection, let's be caller 20 right now. You'll win a pair of tickets to the sold-out Jim Irsay Collection and a $50 gift card to Lou Malnati's. It's the only way to get your tickets. They are for Tuesday, August 2nd at Navy Pier, and we're going to be live at Navy Pier starting at noon for Carmen and Yurko all the way through Waddle and Sylvie. So be caller 20 right now.
That is fantastic, yes. And you can watch Waddle today, us normally. Tomorrow we're going to actually be out. We'll have the Twitch cameras with us if you can't make it to Lake Zurich tomorrow. We're going to be at Chasers. That's brought to you by Miller Lite. So get that out of the way. But
you're missing all of the Lollapalooza nonsense.
I got married this weekend. You know, on the Lollapalooza weekend. I know what it's all like. Remember that?
Was it that weekend year as well?
It was one of those weekends when it was the Lollapalooza, August 4th, 2012. And it was one of the many, and I think there have been many throughout the years, of where they have the severe storms, and they have to evacuate Lollapalooza. Yes. Do you remember right before I got married?
Yes.
How hard it rained, and I think a lot of people who were coming from the northern suburbs, there was flooding on the Edens. It rained so hard.
Wow.
So, I know all about Lollapalooza. I saw yesterday Billy Corgan do his great.
How did that go? I wasn't able to tune in, but
he did it from his tee shop. He raised thousands of dollars.
That's awesome.
More corporate sponsorships too. It's Perry Farrell, right, from Jane's Addiction.
Yes, that is in charge of Lollapalooza. Yeah.
He was there as well, and he did a couple songs.
Did his thing.
Yes, did his thing. It was great. You know, Billy is so at 55 or how I think he's your age or 53, and
nobody's as old as me.
Yesterday was the anniversary. Yes, there are plenty of people as old as you and older. Yesterday was the anniversary of Today coming out, the 29-year anniversary. That thing came out when I was 21. He sang that. He does it acoustically. He's so good. And they raised a lot of great money for the Highland
He's
Park.
He's 55. You are community. Correct about that.
Yeah.
They raised over $60,000 so far, and you can still donate if you want. So
that's fantastic.
I checked it out, too, because Sylvie tweeted it out just as a reminder.
And
I
you're a huge... out, so. Pumpkins
yes,
fan
yes.
as well.
I was, you know, carting the kids around, and when I saw Sylvie tweet out a link last night, I jumped in, and like he said, it was, of course, just if you're a Pumpkins fan, great stuff. I think it's, so check it out. You can donate still for all the benefit, the Highland Park Community Foundation.
Meller, you would agree that it, like, is as much as they can really still rock and be loud and do their thing, that when he performs acoustically, it doesn't take away from the song. Like in 1979 today, he played a lot of great songs acoustically, and it was just as good.
No, absolutely. And part of one of the reasons I'm such a big fan of the Pumpkins is the ability, the range, right, Sylvie? It's not just rocking hard, but also plenty of, melodic tones that, you don't have to, just rock out to, you know what I mean? So it's sure. It's a wide range, and last night definitely encapsulated that.
Yeah. The one thing, and as we get to football here, the one thing that I'll say, about today's environment is it seems everyone's got to get crazier and come out with more hot takes in today's environment.
But in general or just in the world of sports?
That's a good point. It's a good point. Everything is so on this side or that side. Like the
very polarized environment that we find ourselves in.
The I don't know group in the middle, maybe it's the quiet majority, or maybe we're the minority.
I emphatically believe, strongly believe that there are more people that are down the middle that are it's the silent majority is what I would say. Okay. They're then live on the fringes in all different respects.
And don't get me wrong, I could be as opinionated and it's sometimes meatheadish. I try to stay away from the big hot take. I don't like calling it a hot take or a narrative. It's just an opinion on what I have.
Right.
But I was looking on Twitter before we came on the air today, and today's the anniversary. Brady had fun with it. Where Max Kellerman,
five years ago,
he said he's going to be a bum soon, Tom Brady. He said Tom Brady's going to fall off a cliff.
Yeah.
And he's going to be a bum.
If I'm not mistaken, I was upstairs at my house working out. And he said this when he was on First Take, and he was debating with Stephen A. Smith when this... Am I right about that? Isn't that where he made this proclamation?
Yes, right. It was on First Take.
Yeah.
And then they always trumpet the anniversary. We got on Cap, too, for many years. Many years, he said Brady was done.
And by the way, from the point that Max Kellerman said that to now, what has he won? 3 additional Super Bowls? Something like that?
It's amazing. Crazy. And if you go back in time, too, how about when we would bring up, hey, should the Bears be in on Brady? And everyone was like, they just remembered the Tennessee interception.
Yeah.
They just remembered the pick six. Think about it. Instead, it was Nick Foles. You could have signed or tried harder publicly for Tom Brady, and so many fans didn't want him. But I'm getting to this point, and this is the other end of things. We knew with Brady that he was great, and as you've always said, Waddle, that's a party that you're going to be late to.
Yeah,
that's one that you'd rather just err on the side of greatness. And if he sucks in 2022. You'll take the L, but you're not going to be premature by just saying...
I'm not going to be Max Kellerman.
Right. Now we're on the other end of this thing. And I was super opinionated when it came to Nagy at the end and Pace and the way Bears management does things. I see and I hear so much arguing on Twitter, on these shows, on so many people who have big opinions on this Bears team, on what they will be and on what they won't be. And the truth of the matter is, none of us know.
No.
And I would discourage any Bears fan right now with the clean slate that you alluded to, that this is the time to just not come out with any sort of a hot take and let them dictate how we feel, not the other way around. So many people are going to say, oh, they're going to suck. And if they do suck, I told you so. Or they root for them to suck so their opinion's right. Or people say, I think they're going to be great. And we don't know if they're going to win 9 or 10 games. No. But I don't.
I'm with you. I don't understand how people develop such a certain feel, good, bad, or indifferent about what's going to happen in this upcoming season. And I plead guilty to rarely or infrequently do I get sucked into these Twitter fights with people about this. But I did about a month or so ago on this. Just look, there are so many people out there that don't want to hear the opinion that I have. Or that others may have, and I think you share the opinion, that this team is in full rebuild and they're not expected to be very good. And you can come to that conclusion based on some of the moves the new regime have actually made, whether it was trading Khalil Mack or some of the other routes that they have taken. They haven't spent a ton of money. They didn't have a ton of it to spend on guys in the offensive huddle right now. They're going to do that with draft picks and in their free agent money going forward starting next year. They've taken a more wait-and-see approach and a more cautious approach to things, and that leads me to believe that this is going to be a very difficult season for them. With that in mind, they may surprise us all. I just don't anticipate it.
Right, and there are so many people who are doing jobs that they've never done before,
yeah,
where none of us know. We don't know if Matt Eberflus is going to be a good coach. We don't know if Luke Getsy is going to be a good play caller. Last year, I was pretty certain that Justin Fields had the making of a good quarterback. Based on what I saw and what I didn't see, I still think he's... I'm buying rather than selling, but in more... I'm not sure.
Do you know that the, and I think you'll agree with this as well, the only thing that I can look at, I may be able to find a couple of other things. The two things that I was most certain about last year, and there was vindication attached to it, but it wasn't a revelation, was that the previous regime did not do a very good job procuring talent, selecting and bringing talent in. And the coach did not do a good job getting his young quarterback ready to play. And that was more about the system that they put him in and the game plans. That the Matt Nagy, Ryan Pace era had come to a close and it wasn't going to go well for them. I think those were the two things that I felt very confident about last year.
Well right. And we had a track record. That's my point. Like, we're at zero right now. Yeah. And I would just say it may not be as sexy. But I think most of us don't know diddly when it comes to this team. None of us. I don't know. Maybe Getsy's going to be great.
Yeah.
Maybe he's going to be another crappy Bears offensive coordinator. You know, maybe Fields is going to be great. Maybe, I don't know. I'm waiting and seeing. I just don't know much. Like, Darnell Mooney's another good example. Like, Bears Twitter, in some regards, have pronounced him a number one receiver. And I like Mooney, and I think you do too.
I do. I don't know
if he could be a one or how great he can be.
My money right now would be on no, but that doesn't mean he's not a valuable member of your team. When I put my list together, he was on my list of most important Bears. And the guy, you remember the guy that I said to you, I hope he becomes in terms of production. And that's Adam Thielen, who's averaged 10 touchdown catches a year for the last 4 years.
Right.
So if you're telling me I'm putting a ceiling on a player artificially, that's a pretty high ceiling, isn't it? A guy that can actually give you 10 touchdown catches a year for the next 4 years. So, yeah, it's going to be fun. I told you that. I'm looking forward to this season much more so than I was last year because I thought it was a fait accompli.
I think you hit it. That I think it is going to be fun.
Yeah,
it's gonna
I do
fun
too.
Finding this stuff out.
Yes, and we may not like. We may not. You know, we may not be pleased with what transpires. But the process of learning who this team is, who, as you said, Luke Getsy is a huge item for me. Like, I think that you're going to learn a lot about the direction of this franchise just by looking at what he is asking this offense and this quarterback to do. And it's really simple. Like, last year, my battle cry was, this doesn't make sense. As long as it looks like it makes sense to me, that's progress. So that's something that I'm definitely looking for, especially early in the year.
So this is, for me, like the biggest blank slate I've given a Bears team in a long time.
You're getting older. Mature.
You know, where I'm just... I'm like, you guide me. I'm not going to be yelling about anything that I know this or I don't know. Like, if we take calls right now, 312-332-3776, what does anyone, what are the things that you know about this team right now on day two? Was today the second practice of training camp so far? I think so. Is what I heard. And then we got to see what
Lucas Patrick's
injury is.
Yeah, I know that I don't like seeing guys that are supposed to play a significant role leave after day one or day two of practice. It was both Lucas Patrick left today and Tevin Jenkins wasn't even on the grass.
Yes, yes. And again, Matt Eberflus in his interview with Carmen and Yurko with Meller sitting in, and Meller, you could play a couple bites from that when we come up next, but... Like he said, Tevin woke up with something. Like, I don't, what does that mean? Does that mean he's sick? Does that mean his back locked up on him when he woke up? Like, you always hear guys with bad backs say, you know, oh, when I woke up, it just totally locked up on me.
Maybe like, Dion Miller will have some more information on that when she joins us at 3.
Yeah. Someone said, I think, let me see this, if this is the comment that I think it is. Someone said, you know, they're bookmark this. Someone said they're going to bookmark this audio.
What are they going to bookmark? What are you bookmarking?
That I'm going to let this season breathe, and I'm going to let them. What I'm trying to do as a Bears fan is not be sick of them by week two or three, because again, it's not the same guys repeating the same mishaps.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Of course, I think we were. Listen, we came to a lot of conclusions early on with the previous regime. And how'd that end up going? I think you got to let this one breathe. I really do. And as you get, you know, as you go through this process over and over and over again, I think you learn to be more willing to wait and see and not jump out there and make these wild proclamations about who anybody's going to be. Nobody knows. How do you know who's going to be what? How do you know what Jalen Johnson's going to be in this defense? How do you know that Eddie Jackson is going to continue to underperform? Maybe Eddie Jackson has a revelation in this new defense.
Right.
Don't know.
Don't know.
I'm
what
not going to put
Komet's
my money on
be.
It, but right.
No clue what Cole Komet's going to be. Is Cole Komet finally going to take that leap, or is he going to be a guy who looks like Jesper Horsted? I don't know.
Yeah. I'm with you 100%. I said to you, this is going to be a fun season, especially early. It may get monotonous in the middle when they define who they are, and if it's not better than you expect or it's not what you expect, it may get tedious. But at least early on, I think it's going to be fun watching them define themselves.
Speaking of the middle, is Roquan Smith not going to play the middle in Matt Eberflus's defense? He addressed that for a bit today, and we'll play you some of the more interesting things from the Eberflus interview. Then Dion Miller from practice. We've got White Sox on deck as well. 312-332-3776. Don't forget, we're out tomorrow, Lake Zurich. It's Miller time, Friday. It's going to be a beautiful day. See us at Chasers tomorrow from 2 to 6 in Lake Zurich.
Waddle and Sylvie.
Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Matt Eberflus, the head coach of the Bears, joining Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000. Can you provide us an update on Lucas Patrick? We know that he had to be helped off the field today during practice. How is your center?
Yeah, so we'll assess that as we get going here. They're doing everything right now with him, testing and all that. So we'll see where he is. Again, I don't have the full answers on that. This happened today. So I saw that he left with a couple periods into it. So we'll see where he is.
How about Tevin Jenkins too, Coach? Was that was he not practicing for a specific reason today?
Yeah, he woke up with something. So we'll see where it is and see where he is. You know, from yesterday, and it was, you know, nothing too alarming. But we'll see where he is too. I got to get the medical report right here after the call. So we'll see.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is Ho.
Yeah, there's Matt Eberflus. Tevin Jenkins woke up with something.
Yeah, he
I did too.
Woke up with something, so we'll see where it is.
I woke up with something too.
We all wake up with something, right?
What'd you wake up with? Meller's got some sort of odd look on his face right now. I woke up you know what I woke up with? A sinus headache. That's what I was. That's where I was.
No, you know what? I'll throw Sylvia a compliment here. I'm reassessing. Having been a part of the Matt Eberflus interview, Sylvie does have, I think, great advice for anybody who ever wants to host. You got to listen to what he's saying, right? And so part of me was wondering, did that deserve a follow-up? But also, you knowing your subject, the interview on the other end of the line, knowing that not offering
up, he's not going to give you anything
else. So is it
all
worth...
All you're going to do is piss him off
exactly.
And maybe not get
is
a second bite at the apple in the future.
Is it worth going with the follow-up and pushing,
right.
Or do you want to try and establish, you know, a good rapport and continue? So it was, kind of like dissecting.
Do you know what
was
a good idea
it?
Was? And you followed through as you let it go, knowing that we were having Dion Miller on at 3 o'clock today, and she would probably be able to give you an update.
You think she knows whether it was an illness or whether it was an injury?
Well, remember, Matt Eberflus already knew, but the point was he said to Meller, didn't he say to you, well, we got to talk to the doctors and everything. We'll get the meeting. I'll get to that after this phone call. So,
and then he referred to yesterday too. Didn't he say, like, it almost made it sound like he had something yesterday as well? Like, this was part of whatever happened yesterday? I don't.
He's
going to
make both of our lists, Tevin Jenkins. He was number two for me in terms of most important. And something tells me he's going to make your list of players that scare the hell out of you.
Yeah, tomorrow we're going to do the all, instead of doing it day by day, especially since we've done that already, I'm going to give you my top 10 Bears who scare the hell out of me.
Yeah.
And this is, remember now, Waddle.
This is my list. Listen, I'm not going to be the jackass that you were about it.
Sure,
so I'm
going to
let you. I would. My thought is though, this would be my one prediction, is that the guy that was at the top of my list is also at the top of your list. That's all I'll say. That's the only conjecture I'll make.
Interesting.
Well, because
Justin Fields was on top of your list, so you think Justin Fields is number one?
Well, what if he's
not? People scare the hell out of you?
I would think what he becomes this year is ultimately the most important commodity. So
you find out tomorrow.
You told me that you're not all, you know, visor guide up on him. He scares you now this year as opposed to last year a little bit. So
just a little bit. Aren't we all a little bit more worried about Fields? Like, again, I think he's got all the tools.
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't feel a whole lot different about him now than I did then, because rookie quarterbacks is hard to really impress. So, like, I don't feel. I will say this, and I said this with Wilbon, who will be in studio with us at 4 o'clock today. I was expecting more, but I'm not bummed out, and I'm not throwing in the towel. So I'm fine with where he is right now.
Yeah. What else do we have, boys, from Eberflus? Because I know I don't know if we have the bite on this, but do we have the bite on Roquan where he talks about? I thought this was good. And Miller, being the interviewer that you were just mentioning, I think you referenced this too after it when you were dissecting it as something to be interested in. I think a lot of us assumed that Roquan would be sort of the middle linebacker in the 4-3, but here's Matt Eberflus regarding what is his role going to be in this new defense.
Well, I will say this, you know, in this similar defense that we run, you know, you got Derek Brooks of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You have, you know, we just talked about Leonard at Indianapolis. You know, we had a lot of good ones, you know, throughout the course of history. I had Sean Lee when I was in Dallas. So we've had some good ones there. Lance Briggs was the Will linebacker here. And, you know, it's a really good spot to be in. You know, it's a playmaking spot. And so is the Mike. And you guys saw that in Urlacher. You know, those two linebackers in our defensive scheme really make a lot of plays, and they really do a lot of production, you know, for our football team.
He gave himself an out with the Urlacher, but he really took us down the road of a possible Lance Briggs road, didn't he?
Yeah, I mean, that'd be fantastic. And in that defense, I mean, we could have asked Brian that, or we could ask Yurko at some point as well when he's not playing golf. But I think this defense kind of, it's set up to feed things in that direction. And Lance was the ultimate, you know, guy that would clean up things. Derek Brooks is a Hall of Famer playing that spot. You don't remember the middle linebackers in, like, Brian was, it was kind of different. Brian was a unicorn because of what he could do. But yeah, I mean, in this defense, you remember the weak side linebackers more than you remember the other guys.
Mm-hmm. So maybe he was telling us something there. He also told us something with the preseason. Remember, this is where Matt Nagy admits that he erred. Now, it was coming off of a 12-4 year when they elected in 2019 to not play much in the preseason. This is the plan for Matt Eberflus, playing all of his guys in the preseason.
We're going to play all of our guys. And we're going to play, you know, we haven't decided the exact number. We're going to go by quarters, go by number. We haven't decided that yet. We're talking that through right now. But, yes, we're going to play our guys.
Well, that's good to know. So some coaches choose to do it differently. They don't want guys to get hurt. But you do. It sounds like you're serious about having the guys play a little bit and get some run in those three games.
Yeah, we need to get some. You know, really the unit's got to gel. We got to get them in there in live bullets. We got to make sure we can tackle. We got to make sure we can finish blocks and finish the runs the right way. You know, get our reads down and get our progressions down. So it's a big part for our whole football team. We want to see how we operate, and that's going to be a big part of our evaluation going forward.
You can't have a rebuilding team not play.
No, I think of the interview, which was, look, he's not going to tell you a lot, but I thought the guys did a great job with it. That was, to me, was the most revealing, and the thing that I took away most was that I like this approach. I'm not trying to get all meatball-y on you and tell you that everyone needs to play every snap. But you do have a situation where these guys, a lot of them, haven't played with one another. There aren't a ton of accomplished guys. So I like the approach that most of these guys are all going to get a good deal of run in the preseason.
There was a bit of good news today from the practice. One of the flash plays in today's practice was good for Bears fans. Deion Miller, we'll explain that. We'll talk to her, get a full report on what happened up at Hallis Hall at Bears training camp. 312-332-3776.